Can I have your attention? These beaches are officially closing for today. That means absolutely no more swimming.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Kaczmar. Welcome to Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Kaczmar. Today's date. What are you doing, Tyler?
We're going to have to figure that out next time.
We have Tyler working. I don't know what he's doing here. Anyway, today's date is November the 28th, 2023, year of our Lord, AD. And we have a nice show today. This is our second show being back from my injury. So, Tyler, you want to say hello to everyone? Tyler's
sorry about the technical difficulties.
Yeah,
we're trying to go live on Instagram. It's not.
Yeah,
you
probably got to do it on your phone. I think that's what it said. You had to be on your phone. You can't do it from the computer.
What's going on here?
Hey, you're good. I got you here. That's me. You're good. So anyway, thank you for tuning in. We would appreciate if you guys would subscribe on YouTube. So anyway, today we have a short show. We want to talk about a couple things. One, I've been down to Florida, I've been to other places, and people ask, we talk about lifeguarding and Australia, we have people in Florida, and I talk about jetties, and I assume that everybody knows what a jetty is, or, you know, lifeguard with a jetty, and that's my shortcomings, because not every place has jetties. So I want to show you a quick picture of what a jetty is. Actually, we also have two things. The jetty in this picture is also going to show the birds. We have a lot of problems with birds, specifically seagulls and crows. And what happens is people go to the water, they leave their blankets, and they have food on the blanket. The seagulls seem to love the Doritos chips. And so
they've been pooped on?
Many times. What'll happen is people feed the seagulls, and then they start to get excited when they get fed.
10 years, I've never experienced that.
I've been there, yeah.
You remember Murph?
Yeah.
There was an entire summer where he, like, the got first week of July, got poop on his shoulder, mm-hmm. and he didn't wash his shirt for the rest of the summer.
Oh, that's disgusting.
He thought it was lucky or something.
No, well, what they'll do is they'll start eating the people's food. And the crows will actually steal shiny objects. Like if you take your ring off or something small.
The crows?
Crows will, yeah. Yeah,
the we
crows.
We don't get those on our
Yeah, we do. Like I just, well, to go to the first video. We're going to show here. So here's, this video shows the jetty, but also the crows going at. Can you zoom in on us at all?
This is in Jersey?
Yeah, so there we are. So this is in Jersey. So there's a crow there. If you look at our video, and it's on the blanket. And see, there's, you can see him. He's going after the food and everything. Isn't that amazing? They'll go right on the blanket, and they'll take stuff. The crows are the worst for stealing. They'll go in your pocketbook. They'll look around for jewelry, shiny objects.
They're incredibly clever.
Yeah. Can you go back in the beginning of that and just see if you could stall it and just stop it? Go a little bit. I want to see if you can see the jetty.
There's people that train crows.
Yeah, no, okay, you get rid of it. I wanted to show you.
Fly around the city and pick up loose change for them.
Well, I don't know about that.
I've seen it. Also, they're wicked smart. They've been trained to, like, use vending machines. There's people, like, scientists that did experiments where they train the crows to fly around a city and pick up cigarette butts and deposit the cigarette butts in, like, a vending machine.
Really?
And the vending machine would give them, like, a little treat.
Treat, yeah. Well, in Seaside Heights and among other beaches, you get rid of that.
We get the stupid seagulls.
We get the seagulls, and what they'll do is we have an ordinance. You can't feed the seagulls because what happens is when you feed them, they say that that kind of food is not good for them, but they eat all kinds of crap. And they'll start pooping, and then that's, you know, not healthy. But our issues are that these things are big. You know, people, if you get up close to a seagull, they're over a foot high, and they'll go on the blankets, a whole bunch of them, and just tear up the food and really cause havoc. And people,
you think they taste good?
Seagulls? Yeah. I don't know. They're protected. They're protected. Like, you could eat anything.
I want, because like nobody's eating seagulls nowadays, right?
I don't
but
know.
I wonder, they had coastal mm-hmm. communities had to have eaten them in the past. So what I think about is
it probably tastes like chicken. Everything tastes like chicken.
Well, before they probably tasted like chicken, but their diet now is
Doritos.
It's Doritos, yeah. It's French fries, yeah, yeah, it's your yeah. leftover cheesesteak. They're still eating fish, yeah. but I wonder how much that has affected the taste of the meat of the seagull.
No. Somebody should do a commercial for
Doritos.
Or maybe
they taste better because you know how like
well, they are like what you eat, yeah.
Like grain fed beef is like a lot tastier than grass fed beef.
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you this. They are a real menace on the beach. They cause a lot of problems, and they actually are getting so bold that people will go there and try to shush them away, move them, and they won't move. I got to go with the ATV and you know, put the siren on sometime or blow the whistle to get them out of the way. So they're getting real. They're becoming a real problem. And as more people feed them, they're going to get more and more used to people, and they just you know go onto the blanket.
They're just such a funny, tweaky animal.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I always wanted to talk about that. That's something that we deal with on the beach quite often. You wouldn't think about lifeguarding, but it does become an issue. And especially when I see these poor people, they'll go to down, they have all their food and they go down and the seagulls come. It's usually in the morning when there's not a lot of crowds around. It does get so crowded sometimes it's hard for the seagulls to congregate, but we have them. They're always there. And so they are a problem. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I was down in Fort Lauderdale, and that place is an unbelievable place. And I took the water taxi, and I got some nice really pictures. I want to show what Fort Lauderdale looks like in the Back Bay. So if anybody ever goes to Fort Lauderdale, I strongly recommend you take the water taxi. It's like $35, and there's 10 stops. You could ride it all day long, and it's really lovely. But it's amazing the houses that are back there, and every house has a mega yacht. So why don't we go to let's show people the I don't know which one it is, and the mega yachts are actually pulled. So look at these houses. Now this is the going along the intercoastal waterway, and every house has these huge boats. Look at this. He's got two. Yeah, he's got a fishing big. Boat, but every house has a big.
He has a boat for his boat.
Yeah, yeah. That's
his boat has a boat.
Yeah, that's a little fishing boat. That's probably a 40-foot fishing boat.
How much?
Oh, millions.
So we're looking at like how the boat the fishing boat is 40 feet long, you think?
Probably, yeah.
And that's sitting next to a yacht that's a minimum three times the length. Yeah. How much do you think that yacht costs?
Oh, you know, 50 million. You know, that's a good question. 20 million at least, maybe 30 million. It's hard to tell. Some of them are, you know, 100 million, 200 million. So.
If you had wealth like that, would you buy a yacht like that?
No, but I tell you what, you know what's interesting? The yachts are bigger than the people's houses.
Because you got, it's
put
not
it back
just,
on, keep going. Keep
it's
going
not just a flat 50 mil, it's then like a million year in like crew and maintenance.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah, you know? yeah. Look at these. So these houses here, these are all people, famous houses. I don't know. That one's being built. Stop for a second. Stop there.
That's Snoop Dogg's house.
Look at the face here. They're building this to the side over here, that metal. It's somebody's face, head bent back. You're saying that's Snoop Dogg? You're kidding around? No, I don't know. That's a new one. They don't know who owns that. But that ornament in front is amazing.
What are you pointing at?
Go to the left of the picture. Up, right there. That
oh,
thing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing.
In the corner there.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be. So, you know. So keep on going. So these are just, all these houses here are unbelievable. One of these houses here is the guy who did Miami Vice. He's the producer, Mann. Michael
created
Mann.
Created it?
Yeah, he does. He did different movies that he, produced. But this is just on and on and on. Look at these houses. Aren't they beautiful? Yeah, it's amazing in there. And a lot of these houses are people's summer homes. You know, or winter homes. They go there for maybe 3-4 weeks.
That's like in Manalokan. You know, a couple miles north of Seaside. It's all just
yeah, but nothing like this.
Completely empty.
Show the other one. So there's another video here. You got to check this one out. So now these mega yachts are so big, right? And it's so tight back there. It's ridiculously big. They have to. You don't go far that far. You see? Can you straighten it out, or you can't turn it around?
No, this is the way you send it.
Sorry, but if you people have to look here, you might turn it around.
If you're watching this, just turn your head
so
sideways.
What it is, it's a mega yacht. It's probably a 150-foot mega yacht with a tugboat, a small tugboat in the front, and a small tugboat in the back. And that's how they move them up and down. There must be a way to twist that around, but, you know. See that? It's amazing. So that day, if you want to go out for the day and you're parked way in the back of these fingers, they call them, You got to hire these guys, and they take your yacht out for you because it's so big.
And that probably costs like $10,000 just to.
I don't know what it costs, you know, but it's got to cost. You know, I bet you at least $1,000 to hire two guys to come out there and take your boat out.
What's the saying? There's the two best days of boat ownership are the day you buy and the day you sell it.
Yeah, but not those guys. Not those guys. Those guys are it's ridiculous. But I wanted to talk about the
How big is your yacht? The one you got in the garage?
Yeah. It's about 17 foot. That's about it. Now, the one outside is 15 foot. But I wanted to talk about these jetties. This concept of jetties. So these what jetties are they're definitely in New Jersey. A lot of beaches have them. Spring Lake.
So what if I told you you're slightly wrong about that?
About what? Jetties, they're called groins. There's a lot of words for them.
Well, that's the distinction between. So there's a distinction between a jetty and a groin. I'll show you here. A jetty. Oh, this is the wrong one. Hold on.
Yeah, describe so then we could talk about what
shoreline
the unique
structures here. Yeah. So what we're looking at here, let me share the screen real quick. This is a groin. So that's what most people think of, at least around here when they say jetties, is when you're on a beach
and rocks going out,
and off of that beach you have rocks going straight out. And as you can see, like we talked about this a little bit last night or last week, when you have a consistent current on your beach, you're going to have buildup of sand on one side,
right?
And that's going to come at the cost of sand on the other side, which leads to a rip current.
Right.
So a lot of surfers like to surf around these groins. So that's what a groin is. A jetty. Same exact structure, however, it's at the mouth of an inlet.
Oh, so they call that a jetty. Okay.
Yeah. So we got groins. That's the difference we also have jetties. At the Manasquan Inlet, we have jetties.
Right. But most of the beaches, they'll call them jetties. You know, that kind of, all the lifeguards that I know to use the lingo. But basically what it is, it's a structure that goes from the beach out. It's made out of rocks, and they could be 25 yards out, 50 yards out, length. And what happens is that the water hits against the jetties in either left or the right side, and it will cause a run because the water builds up there. So if you got a jetty and you got a south drift, the drift's going south, hits that jetty on the north side of the jetty, it'll kind of stop at the jetty and start running out, and it'll suck people out. You don't have to have much ocean to have a jetty having this water dynamic, and it becomes a real issue. It becomes a real issue because also, that's where I had the rescue, you know, where I had to jump in the water.
In terms of guarding, like, you know, in Seaside on our beach, we don't have that. We do have the pier, but
it's small now. It's sandy.
It used to kind of serve the same function.
Oh, it not used to. It did. When I was there, I don't know when you worked, but were you there before Sandy?
No, I was there. I started 2014. Right.
So we had a pier in Seaside Heights that went out probably another 50 yards, maybe 75 yards, maybe 100.
And people used to jump off the end of it.
Yeah, it was far. And I tell you, that thing would run, especially on a southeast wind. So the water would hit that and just run out, and it would be bad.
Would it run on the north side of the pier?
Well, from my perspective, in New Jersey, at the end of the, you know, in the afternoon, 1, 2, 3 o'clock, usually the wind goes southeast. That's typical summer breeze. You know, you get a northeaster with a storm, northwest, but most of the time, whatever, it's usually west in the morning, north, northwest, maybe south, southwest, but then you get a southeast. That's what cools down the ocean. That's why it cools down the water. That's why a lot of people go to the ocean, because you get that southeast Jersey breeze. Well, when that starts kicking up, it pushes that water north. And if you're on the south side of that pier, that's our major beach, you get in trouble. Mm-hmm. That's why I remember so many days where we didn't have really bad ocean. We didn't have a lot of rescues. The whole day is cool. And then 4, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, at the end of the day, especially if it's getting low tide, that wind would start kicking up and that water would start moving. And it would go north, hit the pier, and then straight out. And you would have just tons of rescues, you know, because it would become difficult because there's two stands there. The one stand, you know, if they're not on top of it, the people are kind of far out. And the time they get over to the pier, it's too late. Pier rescues are tough.
So nowadays on our beach, like I said, like we still have the pier, and it kind of beefs that sandbar up a little bit, but not as much as it used to. And because of that, because we don't have any real, like, permanent structure out into the ocean holding sand, the sandbars are constantly shifting and yeah. the rip currents are constantly moving.
Yes.
Did you find that when that pier was extended out into the ocean that the location of the rip currents were a bit more predictable?
Yes. Yeah, I could tell you without doubt. It used to be where you'd get, you know, you get a bunch of storms in June, and then you get your runs that would be predictable and steady. So most of the time you'd have a run. So say Hamilton Avenue, which is one street, we would have a lifeguard stand. That thing would run for the whole summer, almost the whole summer. Of course, if you had a big storm towards the end of the year, it would knock it out. And, I mean, the bars would fill in, but it mostly was pretty stable. You would also have running off the back of the bar. But you make a good point. The pier did stabilize things. But let me just talk about rescues at the pier, because that's a unique thing. We would actually have pier rescues. So people would get sucked out near the pier. In fact, when I used to surf, or we want to take a boat out, or more likely a paddleboard, you go right next to the pier. All the surfers used to go out right next to the pier, you know, a couple feet away from the pilings. And, you know, you sneak out, and because it was running. It was so easy to get out. And the waves really didn't break there as much. But they did, you know, I mean, a big ocean. But what happened is you'll have a rescue, and the run is running, right next to the pier. And then what happens is you'll get sucked out. Right, time you get the victim, you know, now you get the victim. It might be one or two victims, and you have two or three lifeguards, usually two lifeguards, and then the rope can has to come out. But this time now you're in front of the pier.
Mm-hmm.
And now the waves are crashing, and it could throw you into the pier. Now, you know, these pilings are filled with barnacles, but forget about it. They're wood. I mean, they're big pilings. You could get killed. So what we used to do is we would take the person and put them in front of us, you know, and you have the can in front of you like this, and you would hit the pilings with the can to try to protect you and the victim. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you could say, well, why don't you go in front? I mean, the victim can't hold me, you know. But there was times where we had to go through the pier. We got just blasted through, you know, the rope didn't get to us, and we were getting sucked in, and you'd get in there. And if you get in a few pilings in, it would calm down a little bit. But you'd bounce off the pilings and you bring the people in. And you get cut up. They would get cut up. You know, the barnacles were really bad. You try to avoid that. I had one pier rescue, and that wasn't my beach. You know, those guys let it go too. You know, there was too many people. But I've had rescues down there, and it's scary. When you're coming in, and I've had times where they were bringing me in with the rope, and they had to slow down a little bit and start up. And when I got in, we were, I mean, feet away from the pilings. I'm talking, you know, hurricane surf, you know. I mean, and people are going to laugh when we talk, you know, 4 to 6 foot is our, that's our bigger surf, you know. You got guys who work I'm very sure in Australia, they're like, shit, that's nothing.
I've heard of guys.
But our waves are beefy, man. Our waves are, you know.
I've heard of guys getting out past the pier with the rope and then unclipping to go around and then link mm-hmm, up with mm-hmm, another mm-hmm. rope on the north side of the pier as well.
Yeah, you could unclip. That's a good point. Yeah, you could unclip.
Those clips can be tough, man. They spend one summer in the salt air and salt water. They kind of lock up. It's hard.
I'll tell you, we used to train to do a boat rescue near the pier, and you know, a lot of times we used to have these west winds. And it wasn't bad ocean. In fact, it was kind of flat, but people had these rafts. They used to rent out these rafts. They were big flotation rafts. And people would get stuck near the pier. You take the boat in there, and actually we would train to take the boat and back oar it into near the pilings and grab people and pull them out. We did some crazy stuff. I mean,
how much? Because nowadays, you know, like with what happened over the past couple of years with the boats, we don't train with them as seriously.
No, which is sad.
When I started guarding 9-10 years ago, we didn't train rescues with the boats, but there were still mandatory workouts with the boats. You know, take it, do 10 in and outs, row 3 miles, whatever. Yeah. How much more intense when you were coming up was the boat training
Oh, big. Everybody had to become proficient
like
in the boat.
So what did that, like, what every would a day. Boat workout consist of?
Well, first we would train everybody, you know, the safety of the boat. The rookie would sit in the boat all day long and chip oars, learn how to deal with the oars. And then
it's a great shoulder workout.
Yeah, too. Then we would, on calm days, or go down the bay. We had a boat in the bay, and you would learn the basics of rowing, you know, the position of your hands, the position of your feet. You'd sit in the stern, the other guy with the bow, and then you'd row both, you know, stern and bow. And you learn also how to launch the boat, how to deal with the wind, you know, and things of that nature. And, your first, second year, you're not going to make a boat rescue, but you would, you know, then after you become proficient enough, you could come in on a rescue. A lot of the rescues we did back in the day were basically raft rescues. You know, they weren't people drowning. They were floated out in a raft and they can't get in. So you'd row out, you launch the boat. You grab them. You get the. You had to get the. Victim. They weren't drowning, but they couldn't get in. And you had to get the raft because the captain of the beach patrol.
He owned the raft.
They owned the raft rentals
and the umbrellas. Right?
I always thought that maybe they were more worried about the raft and the patients. Yeah, but we got them in. But I think that boat it could be very good. Now, Atlantic City, they still use the boat quite a bit for rescues. And it depends on your beach. You know, if you have a long, long beach, it's you know, the boat works real well.
Long now, beach as in, like, long sandbars.
Long sandbars, right? Yeah.
Now, to clarify that for right. listeners now, who might not know.
Now, we, in our beach, we have a very...
Uh-oh.
Oh, what happened? Uh-oh. Streaming error, streaming all lifeguard. Right. What does it say? Do you want to continue...
Yeah, we stopped going to Twitch for some reason.
Oh, I don't care. Well, yeah, who knows? Maybe it's just a timeout. Maybe it's a time. So what I'm going to make is that we use ropes and a loose can. So we, you know, our water gets deep real quick, and you know, we have sandbars, low tide and full moon. Yeah, but for the most part, you know,
the longest sandbar you're going to see on our beach is 100 yards, right, like maximum. Like a 100-yard sandbar is long.
Right, but here's the thing. Our runs cook. And what I mean by that, I don't know the exact velocity, but you have a hard time bringing somebody in. So I make a good example of this. You know, when I had that rescue in Spring Lake, when there was all these people drowning, and it was a very small run. It was maybe 25 yards right next to the jetty. It wasn't big ocean. A groin. But what happened was nobody brought ropes. So this thing turned into a 10-15 minute ordeal because there was about, when it wound up, there was probably 14 people that needed to be, you know, pulled in. They were floating, but you can't get them in. And what happens is, you know, unless you have fins on, you try, you know, and you know what you know what you're doing, it's hard to get these people in, especially, you know, multiple people. Now in Australia, I watched what they do. You know, we watched, was it Bondi? You know, they'll get somebody on the board. You could get out fast with a board, and then what they do is they surf these people in. They ride them in, so they get them in. They ride waves in, so you got to be good with that. You know, a lot of beaches around here are trying to get away from the the ropes. But like I was in Fort Lauderdale, they don't have any ropes. They have a loose can. And they bring the people in themselves. You know, and
but that's or no paddle surf there.
Well, don't say that. They get bad ocean, but I think our runs are a lot more. Significant and harder. We could
when you say they get bad ocean though, is that only when they get storms rolling through?
They said they told me when there's an east wind.
Okay.
When there's an east wind, I think he said when there's an east wind, they get really bad ocean. He told me that the lifeguards told me his name was Luis. Very nice guy.
Did you get him a sticker?
No, I didn't have one. But he told me that not last winter, so they're in their season now. They're coming into the last season was really bad. They said it was really bad. But let me make a point about you know, ropes and no ropes. You know, we make a rescue. We have 3-4 people. We got to get them in quick. We have thousands of people on the beach, in the water. We can't wait. You know, I can't wait for you to pull somebody in. You go out and get somebody. I come out with a rope. We get that person. The rescue's done in 2 minutes. I mean, we move. We pull you in. We get you in quick. So we find that is for our application works very well. Now, in Atlantic City, because the sandbars and the water gradually gets deeper, you know, you'd be walking half the way out, and people are so far out, you almost need binoculars to see them. So that a boat works well. They'll send a guy out with a loose can. He runs half the way, and then they send the boat out, you know. And the boat don't need that much water to start rowing. They could, and they do real well.
2 feet. You probably rowed in 2 feet.
But, you know, I like the idea. I like a paddleboard, I think that, like, for a supervisor, you know, when there's something going on, you go out there and paddleboard. You go out in the paddleboard and you patrol, you know. We used to patrol with the boats, too. I used to go out with a boat, especially on a west wind day, and just row all day and move people in, you know, and I like doing that. But I think that the everything is different. So my whole point is, you know, with these groins, they are very unique to New Jersey. I don't know if any, you know how they are down in Carolinas. I'm trying to think about Florida if they have groins down there. I don't remember seeing them, but they're probably around, and they create a real problem for different lifeguards. And I think New Jersey, in our beach, we have ropes, and other people don't. And we're gonna. You communicated with somebody from Australia, right? Mm-hmm. What beach patrol was that? Do you remember? And I was looking
Shell Harbor.
Yeah, and it looked like they had a lot of boards. So boards are really good. I think it works out really well. But the pier is another whole thing, and I don't know if anybody. I remember watching Baywatch. They had the pier. They had one rescue where the car went off the pier, and it sunk, and they all had to go rescue the car. So
yeah, Shell Harbor City.
Yeah,
Matt Blackshaw.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Matt Blackshaw. We're working on getting him on the show hopefully next week.
Yeah.
With the 16-hour time difference, so it's gonna be difficult, but we're gonna make it happen.
But getting. Oh, by the way, too, for anybody who's listening to this, you could go back to the podcast. We put the last show on the podcast on. What are we on? Apple Podcast and Spotify.
Apple, Spotify.
Yeah, but the pier rescues have always been an issue. We had people who would sneak out. They go underneath the pier, whatever for reason, then go through the pier and then come out the other end, try to go out that way. That's an issue, but that was dangerous. But answer the question about boats. You know, we trained a lot. We used them a lot. We what I liked about the boats too, just like the boards. When it's freezing cold, when we start in June. Or May, actually.
It's a good way to train in the water without actually having to get in it.
Yeah, yeah. We go in the bay. Like, I start in the bay in May. We start swimming because the bay warms up. You know, when it gets about 62, I can handle it. But but it's a good way to train, rowing and paddleboarding.
Crazy to think, like, how cold the water is in June, you know.
50s.
Like 50, yeah, like low 50s. The old school life saving service guys, they would row those boats out, and their season was like the winter, you know, October through
a lot of those
like
guys
February,
couldn't
March.
A lot of those guys couldn't swim either, you know.
But part of their training was they would take the boats out,
intentionally
flip them, and then, you know, try to bail them out and get back in. And if I'm not wrong, more life-saving service members died in the training probably than on actual rescues because of stuff like that.
They would go out in northeast storms in the wintertime.
In like wool uniforms.
Right, they wear wool, but they had life preservers, believe it or not. But still, a lot of those guys didn't know how to swim, which is kind of crazy. You know, it's funny because it was the rescue that I had in Spring Lake, the guys who came out for me were cops, and they didn't swim. You know, not that I'm saying they couldn't swim, but they floated out in the run. You know, again, it wasn't that bad with the cans. But the, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are tough. They're tough as nails, and they go in the water. But for us, you know, in June, May and June, the water's cold. This in Memorial Weekend, we had those big rescues. And Sean, who's not here today, he had to swim a rope can out. And that was a good, 75-yard. It was huge. What happened was is we weren't lifeguarding. We were setting up equipment. So the time we got to this person, the person was way out there. And this was a horrible ocean. It was big ocean that day. 4 to 6 foot swells and low tide and cranking. And I remember we put some junior lifeguards on the beach just to watch while we were getting any equipment. We didn't even have any equipment. And we had three big rescues, but the one... the lifeguards got out there and they just sat out there. The time we got down, we were about a half a mile on the north end. We had to come, and I sent Sean and another guy on the ATV. They, thank God, they were able to go around the pier, and he took out a rope cam. But I drove all the way down with the mule on the street, got down there, and I had to pull them in. So that's how big. And it was. But here's my point, though. Sean and those guys were out there for a good, I'd say, 10 minutes, maybe 15, and the water was like 57, 58.
You ever think about sometimes, like, in a situation like that, like, how lucky is it that they were able to get the ATV around the pier?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I told him, I said, I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. I told him, if you can't, just run, leave it. But Well, listen, here's the other thing. I brought the mule down, and, you know, there was only one kid trying to pull these people in, one of the rookies. He didn't know what he was doing. The gates were all open. You know, thank God that the gates were open. So I was – and the gates for the boardwalk. So I just blew – you know, I did one – everything was done. I got down there in no time at all. You know, I went on the street, so, and I was moving. Now, a lot of times it's luck, you know, for these people. That's why
was this an off-beach rescue?
It was no, it was our beach, okay. But it was on the south end. It was right on the border. It was on the border. I think the person came from the other beach, so it was our south beach, which would be DuPont Avenue, Lincoln and DuPont, which is our most southern beach. So it was a hairy one. But my point is, the water was cold. But anyway, I just want to say, listen, if anybody has an opportunity to go to Fort Lauderdale, you know, go down there, say hello to lifeguards. They do a great job. They have those towers down there, and it gets, you know, they get some bad water, you know, and it gets hot down there in the summer. I would definitely strongly recommend the taxi, the water taxi. We were on it for like 3 hours.
Oh, really?
Well, what happened is we got on there, and, you know, you could stop. There's 10 stops. So you could stop and then get back on it, stop and get back on it, and it was great. And so we did that, and then I wanted to do the loop again. You know, we had time. And it was such a beautiful day, and it was so nice. And you can't—I mean, you just see the houses, and you know, the tour guides talk about the history of Fort Lauderdale, and you know,
they got like the manatees in the water down there, right?
Yeah, we didn't see any though. We didn't see any. Yeah, they're protected. But what was interesting about Fort Lauderdale—they have this it's called the Intercoastal Waterway. It goes from Florida. Actually, it goes up here to Point Pleasant. And some people say it goes all up to Massachusetts. So it was made, you know, the United States carved it out. But back in the day, Fort Lauderdale, there was no water back there. It was just swamp. People bought it. And then the Corps of Engineers had to cut that out and made all those fingers and everything. So that property was probably swamp land at one time. It's just beautiful. And what else? As far as our area, the jetties, you know, and we'll make a point about the jetty. The reason why I brought that up, and I just remember now, there was a drowning this summer at the jetty early in the morning. It was a real tragedy. It was a young girl went in. Her father was there with her. He was, I think, an EMT or a fireman from New York City. Do you remember that one? And it was early, early in the morning. It was up in Spring Lake, I believe Spring Lake, where the jetties are. And it was really, the water wasn't that rough. It was, you know, maybe 2 foot swell. But the kid went in, probably went right near the jetty, got sucked out. And that run, that just, you can't get in. And he went and helped his daughter, and he drowned. And it was a tragedy. And I could see them going in there because the water looked so calm. And if they went in anywhere other than next to that jetty, they would probably have been fine. Yeah, you know, so be careful while growing. I'm sorry. So stay away from any kind of structure like that. It looks inviting. You think it's not, you know, the only thing that I could have said is, you know, maybe if they had enough wherewithal to just swim over to the rocks, you know. But
yeah, I all the time think about how many lives could be saved just through like the tiniest bit of education. You know, understanding. Okay, it's very likely that there's going to be a rip current next to this jetty. Understanding how to just see one.
How about this? Go, you know, I always say don't go in without a lifeguard. But you know what? If you're going to go in, where flotation? the cheapest shit. There's very low-key flotation devices. Now, I mean, even if you go in with a wetsuit, you know, you're going to float. Anything's better than nothing. And, I mean, they're
and
actually...
And then, you know, people might be hearing this and thinking, oh, but you guys don't allow those on your beach. Because, like, when there's...
Well, because we're there.
And yeah.
Yeah, we don't
and
want
when
that.
When we're there and when there's, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of other people on the beach, like...
Well, there's a reason why we don't allow them. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain why we don't know them?
Well, first of all, we got to make sure that they fit right, and we're not going to make sure that. I mean, if you go in with a life preserver that's ill-fitting, it could go over. You'll sink down. Life preservers go up, and it could put you underwater. Also, it has the parents will do. They'll put the life preservers on these kids, and they float around, and they get pushed by the waves, and they get held down,
It's easier for them to get caught up in a gully and fed into a rip current. Right. There's a whole bunch of reasons, and I think it's worth pointing out the reason you say if you're gonna go swimming without a lifeguard to have flotation is because it is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still something that in certain conditions can put you in a bad spot where you would not have been in a bad spot. However, if you do have flotation on, what you do need to understand is in most conditions in New Jersey, really you're going to get sucked out and you're going to have to just float out past the break until someone can help you until you can find your own way in.
But here's the thing. You know what I've seen too?
So don't panic.
But you know what I've seen, Tyler, is people get bait up in the waves and they get drowned getting hammered by the waves. So it's interesting. I wanted to bring the story. We could bring it next time. There was actually a guy who supposedly went swimming up in New York and they found his body, but he didn't have, his head was gone, his legs, arms were gone, something. He said he went swimming and they're saying no foul play. But I've been doing this for 30 years. Listen to me. Everybody that floats up, is intact. So I don't know unless a boat hit him, but he was going swimming, and that's another thing. I see people swim even now. They go out there, and they put wetsuits on, and what I tell to those people, they're in clubs and everything. Don't ever go by yourself. Number one, have somebody else wear a wetsuit and take a flotation device. And you don't have to hold. When I go out, because I go out and there's boats coming by and everything. I'll swim out to the buoys. I'll take a can with me.
And you can buy those on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's not like there's like some secret lifeguard store that you need some code for.
No.
You can get that on Amazon. It'll cost you like $40-$50.
No.
If you're going to swim in open water by yourself, bring that.
Turn the camera, your camera over there. Show them what the can looks like. Can't do it. No, don't worry about it. The thing is, I always use a can when I'm swimming distance. And this guy in New York City, he went out swimming. He supposedly swims all the time. And he drowned, they think. Now, I don't know how he drowned. Maybe he had a seizure or who the heck knows. But I don't go out. I tell you, if you're older, you start getting older, and it doesn't matter, anybody, take a can with you. If you get in trouble, say you're swimming and there's a piece of wood and hits you in the head. Out in New York City, there's pilings floating around.
Honestly, that was when I first started working at the beach. That was one of my biggest fears, was rolling up on a piling while I was like body surfing or something, because there was still debris from Sandy.
Well,
I remember one time, I gotta get going in like 2 minutes, but I'll tell this quick story.
Yeah, tell a quick story. And I'll get us
we're
ready
just
to get
you know
here.
It's 9:30. We're training. We're about to go for a swim out by the pier, and we see like this piece of wood floating. So we go up to it and we're like, what is that? And we go to start pulling it out and it was not budging at all. An entire piling from the old pier.
Oh yeah.
Like stretching out like 50 or so yards. Yeah. I think we had to have the Coast Guard come tow it out.
Right, right. Yeah. We there used to be pilings after a northeast storm coming from New York City floating down. You still get them. But anyway, listen, thank you for tuning in. We're just want to let everybody know, if you guys want to give us a shout out, come on our show. Our email is drkachmar@icloud.com. That's dr, that's drkachmar at icloud, ICLOUD.com. Give us a shout. You could call up. You could come Zoom with us. We have the technology. We're on YouTube. Please subscribe. We're on Twitch, Twitter, Spotify. We're on Facebook. We're all over the place. Yeah. And just reach out to us. Anything else you want to say?
Follow us on Instagram at lg.association. You can email also lifeguardsoffduty@gmail.com. And tune in next week. We're going to cover some current events like the cancellation of the offshore wind project
in
New Jersey. We'll talk about that. And how San Diego lifeguards have begun the use of a new AI technology in their operations.
Good.
So and, we'll cover those topics next week.
And the other thing, too, is anybody wants to send us some videos, you know, rescues, we would love to see that. Anything, any kind of videos, and we'll put them up here. We really appreciate it. All right, everyone. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. Stay out and stay alive. Stay out and stay alive.
Later.